Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody tonight. You know, as we've said so many times, Lone Oak First Baptist Church is a great commission church led by our great commission pastor, Dr. Scott. And we use the strategy of Acts 1:8 to reach the world for Christ. We exalt Christ, we make disciples, and we pass the torch. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, Paul and Barnabas arrived to Antioch from their missionary journey, and the Bible reads that they gathered the church together and began to report in great detail everything that God had done with them and how he had opened to the Gentiles a door of faith in Jesus as the Messiah and Savior. Pray with me, please. Dear God, we want to celebrate you and what you are doing in and through Lone Oak First Baptist Church to reach this world for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as Brother Mark has already said, we've had several mission teams go out to, from our church this year to countries like Turkey and Canada and France and Chile and Cuba. And we have also sent teams here in the United States like Chicago and Clear Creek Baptist Bible College in Eastern Kentucky. And we're sending more teams to Chicago and Eastern Kentucky in the next few weeks. So tonight we'll hear from three of our teams, and then later on this year we'll hear from the others. We will hear first from our team leaders from Eastern Kentucky. We'll come and share. They're Matt and Heather Rudy. And then right after them, we will have our team leaders from Cuba. They'll come and share, Clint and Kelly Hauser. And then we'll have our team leaders from our France team, Kyle and Emily Jett, will come and share. Y'all come on now. Thank you.
Good evening. We'd like to begin tonight by saying, here's our team on the screen. It was Heather, myself, Ron Kanye. We had
Nathan Griffith,
Dean and Lori Kaufman, and Butch Walker. So we had a great team that went with us to Eastern Kentucky, and center point there was at Clear Creek Baptist College. We want to say thank you to the church. We appreciate you providing the funds that we were able to use to help in the projects that we took part in while we were here on this weekend trip.
Some of the objectives, this wasn't only a mission trip, but we were also trying to cast a vision. Jeff asked us to do that, to see how and where the Lord wanted us to work while we were there in Eastern Kentucky. We knew there was a great need in this area, and he just wanted us to go and see how the Lord could use our church in this area. So we brought back some ideas for Jeff, and we actually, as Jeff already said, we have another team going in a couple of weeks that will go and do some more mission work in this area. One of the things you're seeing on the screen here is one thing that we were able to do while we were there is build a ramp for a gentleman and his daughter.
Mm-hmm. His daughter was involved in a car accident about a year ago, and she's been confined to a wheelchair. And the only way that they were able to get her in the house was up their stairs. That was about five stairs. And so she would have to struggle and kind of just crawl up the stairs. They said it took 30 to 45 minutes every time that she would have to come home. And so it was put a struggle on their family. His wife passed away a couple of years ago, so it was just him. And he had the materials to provide for the deck, but we as the church were able to buy the materials to build the ramp to connect the ramp to his deck there on his porch. She was facing surgery here in the coming weeks to possibly lose one or possibly both of her legs. So he was very touched by the outpouring of our work for him and was very appreciative in how that we were able to help him to get her into the house.
Another project we were able to do is the college has expanded and built a conference center there on the campus. And so they are looking this next summer to have about 200 Kentucky Changers come there and stay on the campus and then go out and do mission work throughout Eastern Kentucky. And one thing that they did not have were rails for their top bunks within this conference center. And as you know, that's very dangerous, especially when everything's concrete floors. So the men were able to complete the rails. They worked very hard and did that. What was it for, like?
8:30 to about 6:30.
And for how many beds was it, like?
It was 70 bunk beds. We built the rails, the top rails for 70 bunk beds. It was a long day.
When I say they worked hard, they worked hard. And got that all accomplished. And that night, it was so funny. Another thing Jeff wanted us to do was to build a relationship with Ryan, who is the missionary there at Clear Creek. And so we had communicated with him quite a bit leading up to the trip. And as you're there, he's working hand in hand with us, with our team. But that night, after we finished the rails, we went to dinner, and I was praying over dinner, and I prayed that for the individuals, because Matt had commented that we not only need to think about the work we're doing, but the people as we're doing the projects, but the people who would be sleeping in those beds, and pray for those individuals and the lives that would be affected as we do the project. And so that night, as we're at dinner, I was praying over the people that would be there and the lives that would be changed and saved through this project, because people would be able to stay there on the campus. And after we finished, Ryan said, "Oh, yeah," and he started chuckling. He goes, "You saved lives, because they won't be falling out of that bed and falling onto the concrete floor."
So we were all very touched by being able to serve. I know the whole team was gracious for you all and your prayers of support while we were gone. One of the a powerful story of how one life specifically was changed, Ron Kanye, of course, he's busy with his produce farm and spends many hours on the phone and is a very busy businessman. And we had prayed about who all we should ask for the Lord to guide us to, who we should ask to go along with us. Ron was one of the individuals that we, I'd called him and I said, "Ron, you know, we feel like God's wanting you to go with us to Eastern Kentucky." And he said, "Matt, I'm just too busy. I just don't see how I can do it." And so we told him to pray about it and think about it. Well, the next Sunday night, he came to church, and Brother Scott had done a message on the amount of time that you spend dedicating to the Lord. And it really hit him hard that he wasn't setting enough time aside to spend in ministry and seeing the Lord's work done. And he called me right after that service, said, "Hey, I'm gonna make time." So it was an immediate impact on him, and it was an impact on all of us, and we're just thankful for allowing God to work through us to be a ministry here in this area. So,
anything else? There is still a great need in this area. There are a lot of individuals that they're believers, but they just, it's a very poor area. But then there's a lot of lost as well. And Ryan has, he is over the backpack. He created the backpack program that we take up supplies for and participate in. And so he has built such a relationship within the school districts there that they allow him to come into their school systems. And one thing that they've started this year is he gets to go in, he gets to pull the students from the schools for 30 minutes and preach the gospel to them and share that with them. And so he's doing it right now with the elementary students, second through sixth grade. And starting in October, he's going to start after fall break with 7th through 12th. So just be in prayer with him as he, the doors are just open wide in what he is able to, the ways he's ministering to the students in that region. So there's no doubt that's making a huge impact for the next generation.
Matt Ho, thank you. We were, while you were talking, Ryan that you had spoken of has come and spoken to our Max kids as well. So to see that continued on through is really great. This is my best attempt at Pastor Renee's sense of fashion, who I'll be talking about. So I just wanted to bring this. Yeah, this is the Cuba fashion. So. We were called to Cuba on a mission trip. It was conducted from September 18th to the 23rd. It is the first medical mission trip that we have sent to Cuba. The personnel that served up there are Pastor Scott Thomas, Brother Jeff Wallace, Caleb and Emily Huff, myself, Clint, and my wife, Kelly Hauser, Michelle Lowe, and Sandy White.
So we were tasked with setting up an open-air medical clinic in Placetas, Cuba. This was hosted at Pastor Renee's church in Placetas, Cuba. It is the Jehovah Jireh Baptist Church, which we would see approximately, first estimation was 100, then they changed it to maybe 200 patients in four sessions over 2 days. In total, we saw approximately 300 to 325 patients in that same amount of time. Each person would hear the word of Christ and be offered the opportunity to respond in a prayer of salvation. Our prayer was that first, we would be obedient in the call to serve, and that by Christ's example, we could meet the people of Cuba in their place of need. Then, during that time, show Christ's love and how it is his sacrifice that can provide for their greater eternal and spiritual needs.
With a mission trip like this, though, I would consider it almost reckless to not at least have an awareness of that we are going to a socialist and formerly communist country, and that there may be some that would oppose our message. And with that, I'd like to talk about a story of literally within the first 20 minutes of us landing in Santa Clara. When we landed in Santa Clara and I guess we disembarked the plane, we were kind of herded through. And if any of y'all have ever traveled internationally or to another country, as you're going through customs, you're kind of herded to telephone booths, and you step up before them, and you'll slide your passport and visa under, and each person does this individually, one at a time, and that particular time of travel can be quite tense for the team, because as people are allowed to go through, there is an electronic lock that opens. You go to the other side, and at that point, you are within the country, but your fellow teammates are still back behind. And so we got through that section, and once you got into Cuba, it very quickly became apparent that you are amongst their military within the terminal. They are in uniform and things like that. And as we're waiting to go get in line and to go through the security checks with metal detectors and much like a TSA in America, I kind of set myself to the back, and we had strategically put our team kind of toward the back because we knew they may want to check some of our bags and things like that, and just out of courtesy of other people. And I put myself to the back of our group to make sure that everybody made it through okay. And once everyone had gone through and I approached the little conveyor going up to the metal detector, and it was just me and this young military-aged man, we made eye contact. And he said, "Are you Christian?" in the best English that he could. And in that moment, I had like all of that tense, you know, build up to that. I had to just kind of take a step of faith and say, "See, I am." And his response back to me immediately was, "So am I." And he winked at me. And I could just felt a relief come over me. And I knew that despite the language barrier at that moment, that a brother in Christ was standing across from me. And I continued through the metal detector and on through. And I happened to, again, look back for him. And I saw he took himself because he was done with his portion of the work of the plane that had come in. And he kind of worked his way around and I saw him talk to his supervisor like, "I'm done here. I'm going to step over and help one of his colleagues in military as well." And they selected us for two bags to be checked. And I watched as he injected himself into that process as well and made sure that that process moved along quickly. Saying, I couldn't understand what they were saying, but you could tell that he was saying, "It's okay. That's fine. Let's get that through." And it became very aware to me and any anxiety that I may have had before that God provided for our safe passage and that our supplies so that we could complete what he had for us. His provision was that made it through. We were able to go on and complete our objectives despite language barriers at times, blackouts, running low on supplies in the late hours of the final clinic session, and even rain on our clinic. This team remained poised and committed to the purpose that they were called. In conclusion, I've remained encouraged by the humble nature in which the team has served. I also took notice at every meal of those that had gone before this team. Any that have been to Cuba before may be familiar with picture place mats that Pastor Renee's wife, Shelley, has on their dinner tables. As we sat and rested, I saw familiar faces of Sunday school teachers and many trusted friends that were obedient before us and have built strong relationships that are now the foundation of the ministry there in Cuba. It is with that said that we as a church can celebrate that 116 people came to know Christ and accepted him as their Lord and Savior. I believe that there is even more fruits for the Lord to harvest in Cuba, and I encourage anyone in this sanctuary to deeply consider with conviction any offer to participate in future mission trips regardless of where you're called. This is why we encourage our children's mission ministry, Max Kids, on Wednesday nights, and why we encourage you now. Thank you.
Good evening. So we had a chance, that's our team, we got a chance to go to Paris during the Olympics. It was the end of July and the beginning of August. The International Mission Board kind of made the decision. Their goal was obviously to reach the nations, and all the nations came to Paris, literally from around the world. And so their goal for the entire duration of the Olympics were to have teams there ministering to the people of Paris. So it was myself, my wife Emily, Hank and Don Garner, Rick and Jennifer Windhorse, and Joe Martin. So as we went and as we shared, we had the ability, there were three different ministry sites there. Two of them were like local neighborhood churches. Paris is divided up into districts, and so two of them were there at those districts where you'd be, and you would have the ability, as the teams kind of split up, you could go there, meet the people, see the things. talked to people as they came by. And then the third ministry site was at a former church. It was actually the original First Baptist Church of Paris. It's no longer currently a church, but believers currently own it. It was set up as an arts, as like an art gallery, and that's what kind of what it still is now. They're actually starting churches there. Even this past week, they let out an update that there's a church is starting there and what's going to look like. It was about a block or two away from the Louvre, so the goal of that ministry site was really as people went and spent a day or two looking at art in Paris, that they would also have the ability to go through there. And there were 10 or 15 different art art exhibits for people to walk through, talk through, have conversations with. And the goal of those art exhibits and their creation was to create gospel-centered conversations. I'm not an artist. I'm not going to claim to be, or really to appreciate art well. But there were things that were like, hey, do you feel like something's missing in this? Do you feel like there's a difference in this light and this dark? And it created some really unique conversations there with the people of Paris. With that, I'm trying to think what else. The other kind of goal overall of these sites, if you're in Paris, if you ever travel there, the public restrooms are not free. And if they are free, I recommend you don't use them. You should pay whatever that cost is. So all of these sites had free restrooms there for people to use. They also had snacks and refreshments for water and things like that. It was really hot the week we were in Paris, and they're like, hey, there's not air conditioning. Don't worry, it's never hot in Paris. Not true. It was hot. But the other thing you see a couple slides ago, you saw all the different pens. And so part of the Olympics are pen trading. So each athlete, each country brings like pens you put on a lapel and they trade. And so they're conversation pieces. Hey, I got this pen from whoever and what that looks like. And so the IMB created three pens. They came out in English and they came out in French. And it was, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And so with each of those pens, those ministry sites, those people in the street, as they would talk to people and have conversations, they would say, hey, are you interested in trading pens? Because a lot of people, Paris is a very closed country or closed city, and France is a very closed country. It's not like a third world country where people are wanting to have a conversation. They want to talk about philosophy. They want to talk about politics. They want to talk about life. But no one wants to talk about religion. And that was a really easy way for tourists that you would literally meet from all over the world as you're standing there, and for the local Parisians to have a general, easy first in and first conversation. Our team was a little different in what we did while we were there.
So our team of seven, we were among a bigger team of about 70 to 75, and we stayed outside the city, kind of out in the country, at a little facility there. So our seven of the bigger group, our job was really to support the other missionaries that were there. So two of our team, Joe and Rick, they each day provided security at one of the sites, so they just kind of roamed around and made sure everything that was going well there. So they actually went out into the city. The rest of us got up early in the morning and provided breakfast for the team that was there before they went out. And then we also got lunches together for them to kind of make their own lunch to take out with them each day. That was a neat way to just get to support the team. We had a vehicle. The rest of the team didn't have a vehicle. They used public transportation. Kyle drove us around, which brought us closer to the Lord in and of itself.
If you ever get a chance to drive in Paris, I fully recommend it. It is aggressive and it is fast.
But because we had the car and the rest of them took public transportation, we were able to provide support, not only for the team, like the short-term team that was there, but for the missionaries that are there long-term. And so us being able to provide meals for them and then also go into the city once we basically made breakfast and they made their lunch and then they went out into the city, took the public transportation into the city, and then we kind of got ready for the day and took the car into the city also, and we did some different deliveries for them. We took, delivered Bibles to different places, delivered pens to the correct locations, just any general support that they needed. We bought some groceries that they needed, but that freed up the missionaries that lived there who actually knew how to speak French and knew the culture and all those things. It freed them up to get to kind of be more intentional and spend time actually having those intentional gospel conversations. So for me, that was a really neat experience because I feel like that's a gift that the Lord has given me here
is in support or hospitality, and in this season of life is just kind of a behind the scenes thing at home. And so I never dreamed that the Lord would take me to the Olympics to do that. And so it was just a really neat experience, and the Lord was gracious to do that and to give us that experience and that opportunity. And it was just, it was incredible to see that and just hear the testimonies of the people coming back, what they got to experience each day. So,
yeah, I knew I was a gifted driver. I knew the Lord had called me to that, and it was an ability. If you ever do go to the Olympics, there's these lanes. They say they're for Olympic traffic only, like athletes and things like that, on like a 4 or 5 lane road. They will not pull you over, and you will not get a ticket later if you use that, if you're on the mission from the Lord. Just if you ever happen to be the Olympics, no one uses those lanes. They're free and available. You saw a couple pictures ago, kind of the map of the world. So you guys probably heard about this, but it was pretty neat to see how it worked in the flesh. So we all had wristbands, we all had t-shirts, and as we passed out these pens, there were QR codes everywhere. There were some numbers up on the screen of the hundreds of thousands of people that responded to those QR codes and allowed digital missionaries back home. If you had questions about your faith, if you wanted to talk to somebody about your faith, IMB did a really unique job of connecting those people, having those conversations where they were locally. So it's really neat to reach out to somebody when they're maybe traveling around the world, or maybe Paris is home to some of them. But they did a great job of being able to also connect them to a local church once they got back home to answer some of those questions. And then there you see the map of what the impact of Paris happened based on the QR code scans from where people said they were from. So we visited one city, but we had a pretty unique chance to see people from around the world and what that looked like. So we were thankful to be a part of that and get to do that.
Speaking of driving, Kyle is Larry Jett's son, for those of you who know Larry. Anyway, what a joy. Who would have thunk all the way from Paducah, Kentucky, to reach eastern Kentucky and Cuba and France, and then literally around the world internationally. So thank you all so much for praying and giving so others can go. And you know, we just want to continue to be on mission with God to go wherever he calls us. And like what Clint was saying about that, we encourage our Max kids on Wednesday nights to, you know, because we got some children already called into missions, and we want to fan those flames, you know, children and young people, adults, and just encourage them on life's path. You know, I think even about Eastern Kentucky, Heather, how many years did you live there? 4 years? When she was a little girl, her daddy went to school at Clear Creek, and just to go back and see, you know, to be a part of that and help lead a team there. And then, you know, Hank Garner, that was his first mission trip when he was in high school, was to go to Clear Creek Baptist Bible College. And he said there was just something about when you drive up on campus, you can just feel the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we want our folks to be a part of that. And then, you know, Dr. Scott, you know, he's this, who's in the pipeline for missions? Who's in the pipeline for what God would call them to do? And how can we encourage those? November the 24th, we're going to have Dr. Paul Chitwood, the president of the International Mission Board, is going to be here to encourage us toward missions. But then even that night, on that night of the 24th, Dr. John Clausen, a former missionary with IMB who was in Morocco and in Spain. We sent four teams to serve with he and his wife. He's at Boyce College there, and he's going to come and talk about that. How can we encourage those in the pipeline? Is Isaac here? I'd like a few weeks ago, Dr. Scott was talking about, and if your name's not on Jeff Wallace's desk, about being involved in missions, you need to put it there. And Isaac leaned up to his daddy. I'm not trying to embarrass you, buddy, but he leaned up to his, it's encouragement to all of us. He leaned up and said, "Daddy, can I put my name on that list?" At 10 years of age, the Lord's captured his heart already. And so that's exciting to see what God is doing there. And then we got him involved, and we, you know, I went down to on a vision trip to Chile just a few weeks ago, and Isaac helped us get together 150 little baggies of the bracelet that we have, our symbols bracelet, and a card that explained those symbols, and then a little card that we've given out, seven names that you're praying for, and all that's in Spanish. So we put 150 of those, and we took down, and we were able to speak to a church one afternoon, about five churches, and we passed those little bags out to folks and encouraged them to share their faith. And then on that bookmark was written Kentucky Baptist Convention, because it's the same bookmark that we're using for Hope for West Kentucky. And we're using it in English, but we took them down there in Spanish. And we say we're trying to create partnerships. And so we want you all to know that when you write your seven names down on this Spanish bookmark, on the bottom it says Kentucky Baptist Convention. So know that Kentucky Baptist churches are praying for you all, for as you share your faith. But also, we need your prayer. So let that bookmark be a reminder that on November 6th and November 10th, well, and November 9th as well, we're seeking to reach our community for Christ. And so you all partner with us and you pray for us. So that was, if that's the only thing that happened while we were down there, was that was just a wonderful thing. And so appreciate Isaac helping us to do that. And so be in prayer. Who knows? You know, we say, who knows once we get to heaven, the results that's going to happen because of what happened in Eastern Kentucky and in the Olympics, Paris, and then in Cuba. And it's going to be a great, that's why eternity is an eternity, because we'll be talking to a lot of folks because of the faithfulness of Lone Oak First Baptist Church. You know, as we continue to say, it's all about God. It's all about God. Perhaps you've watched and listened to this report this evening, and God's touched your heart. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You'd like to know him. When we invite you to accept Jesus as your Savior, first of all, realize that you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you of your sins, repent of your sins, and by faith ask Jesus Christ into your heart, and you'll get saved. And then what happens? Man, your great adventure with God begins. And it's a wonderful thing. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so whatever God is leading you to do, maybe it's to join the church, maybe to accept Christ or call to missions, please come and talk to me or one of our ministers tonight, or you can text or call 270-398-5005 and a minister will contact you. Please stand and pray with me, please. Dear God, I pray for those who need to make a decision tonight. Give them courage to follow through. God, we pray that you continue to guide our church and that we would be obedient to your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.